Genesis chapter 26. Make sure you welcome all college kids that have come home here for the holidays. Make sure you say hello, welcome back, let them know that you missed them. Even if you didn't, just lie to them, I guess. I don't know. But thankful for them getting some time to come back for the holidays. Genesis 26. We'll start reading in verse 17. The Bible says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.' And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake.' And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for all that you've done here, Lord, and thankful for the opportunity to gather here and gather around your word and praise and worship you this morning and meet with your people. Lord, we're just thankful for the ability to do so before you. Lord, we do ask for your hand upon families this Christmas and those that are ill, that you might help them get better for the holidays, Lord. We just ask that you have your hand on this service. We do love you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Before we get to the story of wells here, I know it just sounds like a riveting topic, isn't it? Wells. Don't go to sleep yet. There's something there for us. But before we get there, I want you to be thinking about the concept of whether or not you've ever doubled down on something that wasn't working. I don't know if you're that type of person, but I am definitely that type of person. When I get committed to something, I'm just going to keep doing it, whether or not it works or not. Maybe you're this way when it comes to TV shows. I'm this way. If I start watching a TV show, it could be 12 seasons since it's been any good, but I'm still in it. I haven't enjoyed it for 10 years, but I'm still there because I started it and I'm going to finish it, right? I'm that way. And so often we are where we'll keep going in something that simply doesn't work because you've invested time, you've invested money, you've been there, and we want to commit to something even though it hasn't worked. The other night, a couple of us were talking about Bitcoin investments, and that's been a lot of topic of conversation of late, and so started reading a little bit about that and just looking up some different articles and stories, and so read a story about a guy who was with a friend of his, and they both, maybe about 6 years ago or so, had some money and they were going to invest. And this guy's friends invested all of his money into Bitcoin. And this guy said, "Well, what a foolish investment. What is that even? That's ridiculous." And so he invested his money into what he thought was going to be something safe and mildly profitable over the time. And so he invested his money into a company called MetroPCS. You know, they've done well, right? And so a year passes, and his friend has made buckets of money, and he's lost about 50% of his. And the next year comes, and they've got some more money to invest. And this guy says, "Well, he's made all his money, but that's going to just take out. MetroPCS is going to have a good year. I'm feeling it." And so he invests again into MetroPCS. Another year passes. He loses some more money. His friend makes insane amounts of money, is now almost to the level of he could retire off of what he's made from Bitcoin. A third year, The guy goes, okay, this is just insane. That's some kind of weird pyramid scheme. It's going to just drop out. He's going to lose everything. I'm not going to be that kind of a fool. I'm sticking with my horse. Invest again in Metro PCS. The end of the story is the guy in Metro PCS has no money. And the guy in Bitcoin is rich. Unless he still has some, and maybe it'll drop out, and maybe Metro PCS will take off. I don't know. Maybe he's held on this whole time. But the point is that so often our tendency is, even when something's not working, because we've already invested, because we've already tried, because we've already put time and effort into it, we're going to keep with it, no matter how much it comes up wanting. And here, if you'd look at Genesis, we have kind of a story of a guy who knew where there was going to be water. So Isaac, if you're familiar with the story, I don't want to take our time this morning and talk too much about history, but Isaac was in a similar place as his father was, as they kind of wandered through the promised land, as God hadn't yet given them the entire promised land. God was still in the process of multiplying them so that they would be a people large enough to fill it and to take it, and that God would give it to them that way. And so Isaac, like Abraham, had kind of wandered around. And Isaac finds himself in a similar place with a similar king of the Philistines, kind of at odds with Abimelech. And so they go through the similar circumstance that his family had been accustomed to, where he had lied to Abimelech about who his wife was. And so Abimelech was displeased with them, kind of kicks him out of the city, these different things. And so he's dwelling in this valley, and God had blessed him, just like he had blessed Abraham, where he had a large family, a number of employees and servants and people there with him. He had cattle and sheep and oxen and all these different things that were just, he needed space to spread out because God had blessed him so much. And so Isaac goes into this valley, Philistine territory, and he goes to these old wells that God had allowed the Philistines to stop back up, and he digs there again. And the reason why he did that is obvious. He needed some water. You with me? Does that seem too simple this morning? Most of you are looking like, well, yeah, water's kind of necessary. No, nothing monumental here. He didn't have running water. There was no faucets there, no irrigation pipe. He had a massive family and employees and cattle that all needed fresh water, and if he didn't get it, they had to leave or they're dead. That's how it works. And as you go through Scripture, you're going to notice the symbolism of wells throughout God's Word, that they represent life and prosperity and abundance. And for Isaac here, these wells, having fresh water and having wells that were safe to drink from, that had a good supply, represented life for him. He had to gather around those places. It represented the prosperity, that he had water enough to feed his abundance that God had given him, that he could produce and sustain all of what he had. It represented the abundance that he had there. And so Isaac needed some wells. If we were to go through Scripture, we won't take the time here this morning to do so, but you could look at Genesis 21:19, where wells were important, and Genesis 21:25, and you could even look at Numbers chapter 21, where Moses gathered the people and made a big deal about how God would bless them with a well that would give them water. And throughout Scripture, God emphasizes the fact that water is a necessary thing. You see the imagery of being washed with the water of the Word and different things that way. And so Isaac needed a well, and so he dug in the wells of his father. You notice that? We won't go back there and read it, but he dug in the wells of his father. He didn't go out and just pick a random place out in the wilderness and start digging and hope for the best. He went back to the wells that his father had digged. Now notice he had to dig them out, though. Notice they were stopped up. This is all going to come into play later. But notice he had to dig these wells out himself. He couldn't live off the wells of his dad. He couldn't go there to where Abraham had the wells and they were just open and flowing and everything was great. and he was going to have peace and contentment with no effort. That wasn't how it worked for Isaac, was it? No, he had to go, and he had to go to the old wells, but he had to go and dig them out. See, he dug where he knew there was good water, where his father had found it before, but he knew he had to dig. He could have run to Egypt, as was a common mistake people would make there as you read through the Bible, but he knew God had instructed him to stay here, so he put his gloves on, and he dug where he knew God had blessed before. You with me here this morning? He went back to where God had blessed Abraham with abundance and water and life. And he went and he dug. It took some effort, it took some work, but he went where he knew there was water. And though the Philistines had stopped up these wells of Abraham, now that they're dug out by somebody else, they want them now. You notice that? It's kind of a silly thing. Abraham goes off the scenes, and Abraham was kind of a mighty man. And once again, we don't want to go into all the history, but Abraham had such a force of servants and of family that he actually took just his people that he had there and went and fought a war against a nation and won. Now, he had quite a product there. And so after he died and was gone and the Philistines weren't afraid of him anymore, out of spite, they go and they fill in his wells. Because they hate him. Not because it wasn't good water. They fill up his wells because they hated him and they hated what he stood for. They hated that he was for God and they hated the God that he served. And so when he died, as kind of a last spite effort, as if Abraham cares now that he's dead, they go and they fill in his wells. Hey, like that, Abraham. Not going to be drinking water there anymore, are you? Well, no, he's dead. I don't know what they thought they were going to gain from that. And you could tell that that wasn't really a move that they thought was real wise after the fact, because Isaac comes and he digs out this first well, one of the wells of Abraham that had fresh water. And they go, well, now, wait a second. This is our land. We're the Philistines. You're in Philistine territory. We need that well. And you kind of ask the question, well, then why did you stop it up in the first place? If you wanted the water, it was there. You could have dug it out at any time. And so they come and they take it. And Isaac goes, okay, fine, have it. There's a bunch of them. And he moves on and he digs another well. And the wells that represent life and peace and prosperity, now they want the blessings of it, even though they had stopped them up before. They destroyed these wells before, but now they want it, even though Isaac is fine going to get another one. And just as kind of a side point, this is kind of always the mindset of the enemies of God. They'll want to destroy anything that God does. They want no part of it. But then, as soon as the blessings start rolling down, they want to lay claim to that. That's ours. That's our product. No, that was because of the people of God. They want the people in this country, those that are anti-God, want to stop everything that God's doing, want to destroy everything that's godly, fill up all the wells of godliness in this country, and then turn around and go, man, but yeah, the peace and prosperity of this nation, man, that's ours. No, that's because there's some wells that people have dug for God. That's not, you stop them up, but then you want the blessings of it. That's always the nature of the ungodly, and that's what they do here. But Isaac's not fazed. He says, okay, fine, have one. There's plenty of it to go around. And so he digs another well. They take that one too. And then he digs another. And essentially, Isaac digs as many as it takes to get some fresh water. And you can see from the mindset of Isaac that he knew what God would later say to him in verse 24, where God would say, fear not, I am with thee and will bless thee. He didn't have to worry, in other words, that one particular well was his last hope. Notice he doesn't fight over them. Notice when they try to take one well, he doesn't go, no, this is where fresh water is. If I lose this, I'm done for. Where am I going to find fresh water if you take this? Isaac goes, no, the Lord is good. The Lord is with me. I know where God had blessed before. It was here and here and here and here. And go ahead, take one. God will still bless. He didn't have to stress. He wasn't having a mental breakdown because one particular well was taken from him. Notice he's not concerned that his flock and his people and his family are going to starve to death and thirst to death. He knew one well gone meant God would provide another well somewhere else.
He wasn't concerned.
And as we've read, God did bless. God's ability to provide for Isaac had no limit. The Philistines could steal a few wells, but they couldn't stop God from blessing Isaac. Could they? God's blessing and God's provision and God's providing of life and happiness and abundance and prosperity wasn't tied to one well. That if he lost that, whoop, it's all gone now. Nothing we can do. God's hands are tied. I guess you're dead. No, there was no cause for concern. God was able to bless through that. And because Isaac trusted God, he dug where he knew God would bless. He didn't give up when things got a little rough. And he was blessed beyond measure. And so you might ask as you read through this, as we talk about this morning, hopefully we didn't take too much time there already, but you might ask, what does Isaac digging for water have to do with me? Who cares? Great, I'm glad. That was really a compelling story about wells. Some of you are already gone. You're already asleep. You couldn't last for 7 minutes of well talk. That was enough for you. But listen, wells in Scripture represent life and prosperity and abundance in more than a physical way. John 4:14, Jesus says this. He says, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And as Jesus talks to the woman at the well, he makes it clear that a physical well could only provide her with physical water. But he pointed out that he could turn one into a well of spiritual water, living water that never goes dry. The Lord said that if any would thirst, that they should come unto him, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And if you read through the Scripture, you recognize that these wells don't just represent life and abundance and prosperity physically, but they represent that spiritually. That Jesus makes that analogy. And so in the same way that Isaac needed a well physically, you and I need a well spiritually. Was that too much of a leap? I think we all got where that came from. See, the abundance of whatever you have in your life, whether good or bad, is determined by the type of well you're drawing from. Whatever you have in your life, in other words, is what you drug up from the well that you're drawing from. That's what you have. And so I ask this morning, as we come here, what are you abundant in this morning? What would you say you are just overflowing with? What do you have? Is it life and prosperity and peace? Is that what you would say you're abundant in this morning? That man, if you had to commit to it, were tied up to a lie detector test, would you say just confidently and surely, the product in my life, I'm just over and abundantly flowing with life and prosperity and abundance. It's just wonderful. Is that what you would say under a lie detector test? Or would you say, really, my life is abundant in turmoil and hardship and grief and sorrow? What are you abundant in this morning? See, a well, God's well, should be a source of life and prosperity and abundance spiritually. Notice God doesn't provide that we'll be physically blessed necessarily, but he promises us eternal life. He promises us life more abundantly than we had ever known before. He promises us a peace that passeth understanding. He promises us a joy unspeakable and full of glory from his well. You with me? Jesus said, listen, you can draw of this well that has physical water and you're going to be physically sustained. But I have water that'll make it where you never thirst again. He says, I have a water that'll really sustain you. He says, I have a water that'll provide you with the security you really need spiritually. He says, drink of the water that I would give you from my well, and you'll be satisfied. And I'm going to tell you what, we need that kind of a well in our lives. See, we may not be physically blessed, but I'll tell you what, we need a peace that passes understanding. We need life everlasting. We need joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that comes from the well that Christ has. In a life of turmoil, trouble, and strife, we need a well that we can draw from that doesn't have those things in it. When things get rough, we need a well that has something good inside of it. When we're in trouble and we don't know where we're going to turn to or how we're going to get out, we need a well that we can draw from that has like some good water in it. You follow me? And we need to dig where we know the God's blessings are at. So I ask this morning, in an understanding that we need a well, where are you digging at? Maybe you've never had a well with anything in it. And this is kind of the situation that so many find themselves in. So many have dug their whole lives looking for something. And they've dug a well here, and they've dug a well here, and they've gone through their life. And if they were to be able to turn around, metaphorically speaking, they'd have a sea of wells behind them, all empty or filled with bitter water. They've got nothing in them. And people so often in this world go from one thing to the next, digging wells, and they're empty. From the time they're young people, they think, if I can just achieve something in my career and make a lot of money, I'll be satisfied. When they finally do, they realize that that well's empty. There's nothing there. And they think, I gotta get more toys, and I gotta get more hobbies, and I gotta do this thing, and if I just spend all my time on the boat, if I just am able to just spend all my time fishing, then I'll be happy. I'll find satisfaction. I'll finally find peace if I can just drop this whole job and just enjoy life. And they finally get that, and they find that well is empty. Nothing there. So often they go, well, okay, I got it. Family is a well that's got something in it. It's got to be. And there sounds to be some truth in that. And they start digging in family. And so often they go through their life and then they, without God's word and without God involved, they end up with a family that's broken and kids that don't want anything to do with them. And they find that that well too is empty. Nothing there. And so many go through their lives and they dig and dig and dig and there's nothing there. Maybe it's time, if that's you, to see if God's well has got something in it. You with me this morning? Maybe it's time to taste of the waters of life. So many dig their whole lives looking for that deep satisfaction and peace. And those that are even lucky to achieve what they set out to do find those wells empty. And can I tell you, you need the well of salvation. You need life and abundance and peace in the well of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you don't know Him, the wells of all of this world are just the same as they've always been for everybody else. Part of what we're going to be talking about this morning and what we're looking at is you notice Isaac digs in the wells that he knew there was fresh water in. If you don't know Him today, look at what everybody else achieves from the wells that they dig in. If you know all those that have had physical success and all those that have had money, and you look at those that commit suicide in record numbers that have this and have achievement and have made a lot of money, why would you dig in the same wells where you know the water's no good? Why would you come here and go, I don't know if I'm going to buy this whole well of Jesus Christ thing. I think I'm going to go out and dig in the same wells that others have found death in and hope I find life. What kind of foolishness is that? Take a look at where life is. Take a look at where fresh water is and dig there. Maybe you're here and you've known the well of God's blessing before. You've been saved, but you've since dug wells everywhere else. You used to be one that enjoyed God's blessings, but you've since found your career well and your money well and your friendship well and your hobby well, and you're sitting here unsatisfied. I wonder, where are you going to dig your well at? I promise you this morning, that if your life is abundant in sorrow and stress and emptiness, then you're not drawing from God's well. See, we never want to connect the dots of the realities in our life. If this morning what's abundant in your life is stress and sorrow and hardship and unhappiness, then the well that you're drawing from is not the well of Jesus Christ. Connect the dots. Take a look at what's in the well this morning. God's wells are not empty. John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He says, if you take of the water that I have, you won't thirst again. If you're thirsty this morning, you're at the wrong well. You with me? And notice, as Isaac went and had to draw on wells, notice that the wells that Abraham had dug were stopped up. Notice Isaac had to dig his own wells. Notice he had to go to the wells of his father, though, to get them. See, Isaac chose to dig in the same places that God had blessed before. And so often, the tendency with believers, so often the tendency with those that know Christ, is instead of turn to the same things that God had blessed in before, they want to find something new to get God's blessing in. Can I tell you, it isn't in the new things that the blessings of God's going to flow through. It's in the same old ways that Christians have been sustained by God since the time of Christ. If you go all the way back to the time of Christ with the apostles, and you follow them through the early church, and you find them through Christians that survived the Inquisition and hardship and martyrdom, and you go through and you look at the 17 and 16 and 1800s where God did great revivals, you're going to find the same wells all the way through that God did something through. You're going to find these Christians, each one of them, where did they go to? They spent some time in God's Word. They went to the well of His Word every time. Since the time of the apostles, they spent some time in prayer with Him. Can I tell you what started the New Testament age when you go to the book of Acts and you see the start of the early church that's going to go from then until the time of Christ returns? What was the beginning moment you read about? You see 120 believers praying. Tell you what, that's a good well, ain't it? What sustained the church through the time? What happened when Peter was miraculously released from prison? It was like a church praying for him. What happened during the time of the great revivals where millions of people got saved? Well, they would actually have services where they'd have rooms underneath the pulpit and they'd take some faithful men under there and they would pray under there the whole service. They'd go and they'd get ready for a revival in a town and they'd send some people that they thought was more important than the preaching to go over to that town and pray for months for that town before they got there. Man, that's a good well, ain't it? Man, they spent some time in God's Word. They spent some time in prayer. Man, they were faithful to God's house. I mean, go look at the early church. Go look at Christians throughout the time of being martyred and suffering for Christ. Man, it would have been way easier to stay home and pretend like Christianity is a low-key thing, wouldn't it? Man, if you got some people that are looking to kill you for being a Christian, you know the most dangerous place to be? In a building with a bunch of Christians. You know where they went, though? Went and gathered together. First day of the week, as Christians do. Man, what did the early church do? Man, they've got thousands of people there after Pentecost. They got no church building. They're being hunted, and they went daily from house to house, gathering as believers, as a church, teaching the Word of God. Can I tell you what? There's an old well of coming to church that's been proven since the time of Christ. The old well. Nothing new. You go through and you look at these believers and you look at what they've accomplished and you look at what God's done. We see them, man, they're in God's Word and they're spending time in prayer and they're going to the house of the Lord and they're participating in the Great Commission. See, sometimes we forget that part. See, sometimes we read the Word of God, we spend some time in prayer, we come to church and we go, but that's not my job or anything. I don't have a part in this. Hey, take a look at the old wells. You with me this morning? Take a look at your Word of God. Take a look at Acts. Take a look at what the early church did. Take a look at what the church did throughout the time of the Inquisition. Take a look at what the church did through the time of revivals. You know what they did? They preached the gospel to every creature. They didn't have all these fancy campaigns. They didn't shirk their responsibility to spread the gospel, to evangelize. You know what they did? They read God's word. They spent some time with the Lord. They came to church and they did his mission. And God blessed. God blessed. And they had life and prosperity and peace and life more abundantly. Because they went to the old wells. And sometimes we see that. We know that. And yet we wonder why our wells of career, money, and hobbies don't have any water in them. Sometimes we serve God in our own way. Digging in every activity, program, and fellowship, leaving the old well stopped up, all the while wondering why it doesn't satisfy our thirst. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people that haphazardly, occasionally show up for church, and they spend no time in God's Word, they spend no time in prayer, they're not faithful to His house, and they have no business sharing the gospel at all. And then they go, well, Christianity doesn't work. You're not in the old wells, friend. The old wells are still stopped up in your life. So many think, man, well, it's 2017. The church has got to be something new. We got to change everything. We got to just de-emphasize this preaching thing. We got to cut down on this Bible thing. Stop making such a big deal and stop being legalistic and get more about some fellowships and let's get some small groups and let's go skiing and let's fellowship and all that can be great. But can I tell you what? If that's where you're digging, you're going to come up empty. That's not the old wells. God said, hey, listen, where are you going to find life and life more abundantly? You're going to find it in me. You're going to read about me. Where does faith come from? Hearing and the Word of God. He says, how are you going to get what you need in your life? He says, you have not because you ask not. You're empty and you're thirsty. And you're going to everything except coming to me in your closet of prayer. Where's your well at? What are you digging in? And why are you expecting something new to work when the old wells are still stopped up? But notice this. He dug where he knew there was God's blessing. And you and I need to dig where we know there's God's blessing. Where God's blessed before, where people have found life and it more abundantly before. But notice Isaac had to dig it. It wasn't open. It wasn't ready to go. The well of life springing up in the heart of anyone else doesn't help you at all. Did you hear me this morning? You don't get life more abundantly out of anybody else's well. You can dig where they found water, but you got to dig your own well. Proverbs 5:15 says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Probably in the context there, he's talking about staying faithful to your wife, but the principle is this, you better get in your own well. Well, if anybody else ain't going to help you. And so many people drop into churches infrequently. They never pick up their Bibles. They spend no time with God in prayer. They've got absolutely no role in the Great Commission. And then they blame God when their well is empty. You didn't dig it. You want life and life more abundantly? Get in here. I've never seen anybody take a time where they've said, okay, I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to make a commitment to read God's word every day, to spend some time in prayer, to be faithful to his house and share the gospel, and then do that and go, well, that well was empty. You know what I see? I see people pretending to be Christians. They show up to church occasionally. Their Bible stays dusty on their shelf. Their prayer time includes thanking God for dinner. And then they go, well, why is the well empty? Because you didn't dig it. It doesn't just happen, friend. You want the fresh water? Go dig for it. God says, here it is, but you got to read it. You with me? He says, I'll give you what you need, but you got to ask. Spend some time in prayer. You have not because you ask not. You say, well, man, this church just, it's not growing. I don't see people getting saved. I don't see, man, I expect God to be blessing, and I want to see some Pentecost-type revivals, and I want to see God do something. Well, are you sharing the gospel? No, I just kind of expect it to happen. You got to dig the well if you want the water. Don't get simpler than that. But yet we so often expect things to just take place. We just expect that if we just kind of just exist, that God should bless us with life and life more abundantly. No, you know where the well is. It's the same wells that have been there since the time of Acts, since the time of the early church, but you got to dig them yourself. You got to get in the Word yourself. You got to dig it. Listen here this morning. Don't you dare tell me that God's wells are empty when you've got no dirt on your hands. You with me? Don't you come here, and I've heard it so many times, don't you look me in the face and say, your God doesn't provide when you've not dug a well. Don't you tell me that God doesn't satisfy when you don't get in His Word. You couldn't even turn to the books of the Bible if your life depended on it. I've seen Christians like that. Man, God's Word's got nothing in it. Okay, turn to Zechariah. Okay, yeah, God's Word don't satisfy you. You ain't never read it, so how would you know? Yeah, God doesn't answer prayers. Well, how much time do you spend praying? Well, 16 years ago I prayed for something and it didn't happen, so. Yeah. You're like the Philistines. You fill up the own wells and then you expect, where's my blessing? How come I'm not blessed? You go, man, I'm not being fed at church. You only come once a month. How are you going to get fed? Where's your wells at? Don't tell me that my God's empty when you haven't dug your well. Don't you dare say that my God doesn't provide when you won't even dig where He promises there's water. But look at this. Sometimes you're going to lose the well. That doesn't sound right, does it? Notice with Isaac, he dug a well, and the Philistines came and took it from him. And that don't sound right, does it? You would think, and it sounds like, and you would think that God's ways would be that Isaac would come and he would dig the well, and then God would put a hedge of protection around him, and the Philistines wouldn't be able to take that from him. I don't know about you, but that's what I think should happen. You don't think that Isaac should have to be faithful to God, to trust God, to go dig a well where he knew God would bless, and then to have it taken from him. How's that work? Why is that? Doesn't seem fair. Because the reality is that sometimes you're going to lose the well. Tell you what, the fact that you were abundantly blessed, the fact that you were faithful to God once upon a time, the fact that you got fresh water from that well way back when, doesn't mean that you don't need to dig a new well today. You're going to falter, friend. You're going to get backslidden. Even though you once were in God's Word, you once had a relationship with God, doesn't mean you won't sometime be offended, get hurt, get backslidden, fall into sin, and lose your well. I'll tell you what, you're going to get hurt sometime by somebody. It might be your church, it might be your pastor, it might be a loved one, it might be your spouse. But you might go through some troubles. You might lose your health. You might find yourself in poverty. And you might feel like you lost your well. Like that peace and joy and abundant Christian life is something of the past. Am I the only one that's been there before? Am I the only one that has had a time in my life where I can remember, man, God blessed and it was wonderful. And I would have confessed to anybody, man, life and life more abundantly is there. And then later on found myself empty and wanting and wondering, man, what's going on? Because I got backwards, because I let somebody hurt me, because I let something affect me, because I got bitter, whatever the case is. Man, I lost my well. I let something take my well from me. Can I tell you what? The well that you used to have don't help you. What I mean by that, the relationship with God you used to have doesn't help you today. The fact that you read your Bible 10 years ago is not helping you today. The fact that you were faithful to the Lord in the time of church and you went and served at a local church and were faithful there 5 years ago is not doing anything for you now. Sometimes you're going to lose your wells. You can count on it. It's not always going to be easy. See, notice God didn't just make it easy for Isaac. He didn't just say, well, you dig one well and you're set for life. Wouldn't that be nice, though? You with me here this morning? Wouldn't it be nice if you just said, hey, if I just read my Bible cover to cover once, I got it. I'm golden. Set for the Christian life. I got it now. I read it. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, the Bible's the only thing I really do twice. I don't watch a movie a second time. I hate that. Hey, let's watch this movie we already watched. Well, I know the ending. I don't. What's the point? How many times you read that book? Once. I know it. I read it. Unless I got into some kind of accident, lost my memory, I don't need to read it a second time. The Bible's the only thing I do more than once. Why? Because the fact that I read it last year does not help me this year. I need to dig another well. You're going to falter. You're going to lose your well. And if that's you this morning, if what you say, even though you once had abundant Christian life, if you would say, today what I have, the product, what I'm abundant in today is despair and sorrow and stress and worry. And man, it's just terrible. I would say, hey, listen, I don't care about the wells in your past. Dig another well. Well, where do I dig? It's the same place as they always been. It's awesome. You don't even got to go out there with the little stick and try to find water. You know where it's at. Isaac didn't have to go and take out his topographic maps and start wondering, okay, this is the lowlands and this is where the grass is and okay, water's going to flow. He didn't have to do any of that. He went, Abraham dug a well there. It was water there. That's where I'm going. It's awesome. You don't have to sit here and wonder, well, how is God going to bless my life? How do I get back to the Lord? Man, I've lost my joy. How do I find it again? I've lost my peace. How do I find it again? Well, let me tell you what, the wells are in the same place. You just got to go dig them out. Yeah, some things in life have filled them up. It's going to happen. Yep, you're going to get bitter. The wells are going to get filled up. Yep, you're going to backslide, stop reading your Bible, and the wells are going to get filled up. I wish I could say that that doesn't happen, but it happens to every one of us. You're going to mess up. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get some filled up wells. But you know where they're at. They're in the same place they always been. So go dig another well. Dig it out. Find it. Get back in the Word today. It's a well that never runs dry. It's a well that you need to dig today. I don't care if you dug in the Word of God last year. You need to dig it today. You say, well, I read my Bible, I don't know when, but I totally know it. I've been a Christian my whole life. I know the Word of God. Doesn't matter. The well full of dirt is not giving you water. Dig it out today. I used to read my Bible, but I haven't lately. Then dig another well. Get back in there. Because can I tell you what? The water is still in there. The peace is still in there. The satisfaction is still in there. The answers are still in this book. If you've forgotten, dig again. It's in the same place. Man, get in your prayer closet. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. How's your prayer life been? Let me ask you, are you closer to the Lord today than you've ever been? If not, get digging. Dig another well. You don't understand. I used to be real close to the Lord, and then, you know, a pastor hurt me, and I just got offended at this church, and man, they really did some things wrong. And I'll say what? You know what? I'm sorry for that. I know that can happen, and it hurts. I feel for you. But that don't mean the wells are different. It means some Philistines came and filled them with dirt. You know, you got to dig them back out. Get back with the Lord. Spend some time with Him. Man, are you faithful to church? Are you on a mission to do what God's given you a mission to do? Do you have a part in the Great Commission here today? Or are you just kind of just,
I just want the blessings. I don't want to be part of this whole thing. Maybe you used to be faithful. Maybe you used to teach a Sunday school class. Maybe you used to lead people to the Lord. Maybe you used to be a part of evangelism. Can I tell you what? That's not going to satisfy you today. Dig another well. Let me tell you this, and we'll close. God's wells are not empty. They're not. Sometimes we get to a situation in our lives where we think God's wells are empty because somebody else filled them up. Because somebody came and hurt us. Because we got backslidden or something happened and the wells got filled up and church don't feel right anymore. You ever been there? I mean, I've been there where I came to church and I go, man, this ain't the way it used to be. This used to be wonderful and it ain't that way no more. Man, I used to love this. What happened? Man, I used to pray and it was great. And now it seems like I'm just talking to a wall. Man, I used to read God's word and I would get something out of it. And now I barely even open it. What's going on? Maybe the wells have run dry. Can I tell you what? The wells are not dry. It's not the problem. Can I tell you what? If they worked in like 30 AD and they still worked in the 1700s and 1800s, and they still work for you 10 years ago, it's pretty unlikely that they dried up this year. I'm thinking they probably haven't been there for thousands of years, and now all of a sudden in your lifetime, they're gone now. God stopped working. He ran out of juice. God was all powerful. He didn't expect things to go on this long. He ran out. He got tired. Come on. God's wells aren't dry. You just need to dig them out again. Get back in the Word. Get faithful to church. Spend some time in the prayer closet. Look at what he said to Isaac, and he says the same thing to us. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee. Let me ask you this. Do you believe him this morning? See, because that's really the question. Because if you're like me, I ain't going to be digging no wells if I'm not for sure there's water down there. I got better things to do. If you're telling me to go dig out there and to go dig yourself a well by hand, hopefully there's water, I'm going, you dig it. I'm going out there to dig a well in hopes that there's water. It's going to take me a while. Get some blisters. Let me ask you, do you really believe that there's water in his well? See, you know what? A lot of times the problem is we're not sure. It's not like we don't believe it. We're just not totally sure. So I'm not like going to devote my life to digging in those wells. Listen, he says, fear not. Don't worry that I'm not going to come through. Don't worry that I'll be empty for your well. He says, I'm with thee. I will bless thee. Are you maybe this morning doubling down on what doesn't work? Man, you've been putting your life into your career and you're feeling empty and sorrowful and stressed today. Are you saying, well, okay, this next year, 2018, I'm going to get myself that promotion. I'm going to get that money. I'm going to invest this thing. I'm going to get it this year. Listen, if it hadn't worked by now, it probably ain't going to provide satisfaction next year. We always think, man, just a little bit further, and it'll give me everything I've been looking for. You doubling down on what doesn't work? Is your well empty this morning? Is your life abundant in sorrow, grief, and emptiness? I'll tell you what, then dig where there's water. And let me say this, dig again and again and again, because Jesus never runs dry. Come to him, dig another well, and get life and abundance and peace and joy that he offers. Maybe you're lost today, and you never dug a single well. Maybe you don't know anything about this. Maybe you have no recollection of ever having a time of life and abundance and peace and joy. Maybe that's never been your testimony and you're going, what is this well you're talking about? And I'll tell you what, this morning you can come down to an altar here today and I'll greet you here and I'll show you how to get the water of life that never runs dry. I'd love to tell somebody this morning about how you can find salvation and forgiveness of sins and taste of that water that you don't know anything about. Can I tell you what it's like? It's like you've been drinking dirty water your whole life, and I'm trying to describe to you what fresh water tastes like. I can't do it, but can I tell you, man, it's amazing. It's like nothing you've ever had before. It's awesome. It'll quench your thirst like nothing ever has. If you don't know him, come dig a good well. If you know where the good wells are at, go dig them out again. You're going to get the same thing that's always been in there. Stand to our feet this morning and bow our heads.